He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guess.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right, Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this, yes, it's Tuesday, folks. Labor Day weekend has come and gone. We are here on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope you're doing well. Happy September 2nd. Yes, we are in the month of September, folks. Yeah, it is here, and we are fully into the football side of things. As soon as the NFL starts on Thursday, folks, Thursday night football, Eagles and Cowboys going at it from Philadelphia. It is good to be here. It is good to be talking sports. It is good to be alive on this Tuesday. Hope you're doing well. Hope you recovered again from another Tuesday thunderstorm situation this morning. Some people getting some of that in the Central Valley. But we are good to be here. It is a show that we're going up till 5 o'clock today, 5 o'clock before Giants baseball. Giants baseball starting at around 5:10 pregame, 5:40 first pitch from Colorado. Those suddenly very hot San Francisco Giants, hot on the tail of their wild card foes, potentially. 5 games out. Yes, they are 5 games out. We'll see where they stand from them. We're not talking baseball today anyway. But anyways, Giants coming up later tonight. It's going to be against the Rockies, like I said. What do we got on the docket? First of all, a big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous hour. Tony D show from 2 to 3 p.m. on 1430 ESPN. Tony D, Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D from 2 to 3. You can listen to it live and on demand on the 1430 ESPN app or 1430ESPNFresno.com website. That's where you find it as well. Find my show there as well, 1430ESPNFresno.com website or 1430ESPNFresno.com. And also our Saturday show, Paul Metters, Central Valley Sports Report from 10 a.m. to noon every Saturday, live from First String Sport, also live on those platforms as well. We're also live in the video portion as well. Hello, YouTube audience, Facebook, Twitch, all of those folks here on our ESPN Fresno platforms. You can watch us live or back on demand. Just click like, subscribe, all of that great stuff to our channel. So if you want to catch some of the show in that form or fashion, always having fun here on the video side as well. So good to be here. Good to have you here. Let's go to the sponsors. Lee's Air Hotline. Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. The way to reach our show, 559-320-1430. The way to reach our show. That is how you call in with your opinions. Let's take a look at the Lee's Air weather check. 101 degrees right now, potentially getting up to 103 by the later afternoon. I will say, and I'm going to make this proclamation, I'm going to do it. This is the last 100-degree day of 2024. I'm proclaiming it now. Folks, rejoice. It is hundreds no more. And I'm gonna take that to the bank. I'm going to do the Philstradamus guarantee on that, folks. And yes, I may be jinxing it, but that's fine. 100-degree temperatures, no more after today. That's what I'm going to declare for everyone out there listening. Good to be here. Good to be alongside the folks here in this show, and we got a good one for you. Of course, I like to clear it out, especially when we do a recap of the football side of things. It's going to be more of this. This is what Mondays are going to kind of feel like. We're kind of doing the Monday show on the Tuesday, playing catch-up today, but we got a lot to get into, including the Fresno State game on Saturday. I shared my opinions. Some people have seen them. I was over on Gabe's program on CAMPH on Sunday. I'll go dive into it a little more extensively today. We'll talk about the Oregon State game coming up between the Bulldogs and the Beavers. Some interesting things of note there. do a little bit of the Mountain West roundout as well, talking about all the games that happened in the Mountain West. Kind of do a big college football hour to start our show today, and maybe have some fun with some of the other things we saw in college football this weekend, good or bad in terms of that. Then I'll do some high school talk in the second hour. We'll dive into my NFL stuff as well. By the way, Benatti Blitz is making its return today. The Benatti Blitz is returning today, talking about and ranking every single game from the NFL slate. We're going to do those every Tuesday. We're going to be doing those every Tuesday for you. The Benatti Blitz. Can't wait to bring it back. I'll wrap up the show and get you set for everything coming up later tonight, of course, and should be a lot of fun. But before we dive into that, it is good to be joined by a couple of the producers today that are in the show. And as I do, after we come off of every weekend, we have to ask the question simply, how was their weekend? We have Tanvir and we have Jorge in the other room today. So why don't we start with, by the way, you guys pulled a switcheroo on me. It's sometimes it's Jorge in this seat and Tanvir in the other one. Tanvir's in the main seat today. So I'll go to Tanvir first. Tanvir, how was your weekend?
It's a good weekend. Got a lot of work done. I was so excited for week one of the college football season. Not going to lie, didn't really live up to my expectations in terms of those three top 10 matchups. But otherwise, I am just happy that college football is back.
Jorge, how was your weekend?
Oh man, it was pretty cool because it was like Saturday from like since I woke up to like I went to sleep, it was pure sports, just like sports watching.
Yeah,
soccer, football, and then a little bit of the F1 qualifying, and then
F1 qualifying,
like some tennis, just everything.
Hey, my Everton team, they got to win again. I'm telling you, we're going to finish top five Champions League. Here we come. Is that how it works?
Yeah, out of here.
I don't know if it's going to work for them, but.
Did I soccer right?
You soccered correctly.
So, anyways, no. I like the early start from my guys. All right. Let's talk about this weekend. Of course, I had a great weekend. Went to the Fresno State game on Saturday. Enjoyed my time there. I enjoyed my time for a little bit there. Sometimes I was a little more stressed out, and I'm sure a lot of fans were feeling the same stress as well coming out of that game, but we'll get into that in a second. I had a very relaxing Sunday in terms of everything, just hanging out, watching some football with some buddies. I did screw up. I did accidentally have three completely separate groups of people that I will say have never interacted with each other in any form or fashion. I allowed three separate groups of people to have the same fantasy draft days on that Sunday. And I had a draft at 6 o'clock Pacific time. I had a draft at 7 o'clock Pacific time. I had a draft at 7:30 Pacific time. And by the way, it would have worked. But for some godforsaken reason, our 6 o'clock draft, who, by the way, most people are on the East Coast. So this is a 9 p.m. draft for a lot of people. This is my six. I'm benefiting from being on the Pacific time zone. They set each pick at 4 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. 4 minutes. That's
it
a travesty.
Was absolutely torture. You know how long the 7 o'clock one took? 30 minutes. Because it was like a minute a pop.
Okay. Yeah. You said 30 minutes. I got scared for 30 minutes.
30 minutes whole. 30 minutes entirely. The draft that started at 6 ended after the draft that started at 7. And then I had 7:30 draft, which went through basically like till 8:30, which is like the typical one. But
right.
4 minutes per draft pick, I was losing it. I was losing it. And, of course, I had a technical faux pas. I was borrowing my friend's iPad because I couldn't do multiple tabs of drafting on the phone. So I had to do that. And then the iPad glitched. Instead of me drafting Amari Cooper, I had drafted some guy named Prince who's on the Patriots IR as a running back. With my 15th overall, not 15th overall, with my like 15th round pick. Thankfully, I got Amari Cooper back on the waiver wire after a day or two, settled in. But I was losing my mind. I was losing my mind. Have you ever had a situation where you had to fantasy draft like different drafts at the same time?
No, thankfully, I run one league, so I know what my other league is going to do draft wise. So I
That's
plan
fair.
Accordingly. Thankfully, I don't have to go through that because I would probably be losing my mind as well.
And I'm also in the mindset, I'm like, should I just quit one of these drafts? I feel like I need to.
How many leagues is too many?
I'm at four. That's where I'm at.
I think you're at the max.
I think four max is like it. By the way, every league I have Baltimore and Tyler Loop as my kicker.
Oh, beautiful.
I am just locked in. Locked in and it. I think every single league I got JSN. I'm locked in on that one. And yeah, no, not much more. I've somehow ended with like that one league with the six o'clock time one. I ended up with four Niners. I don't know how I did it. I have Brock Purdy as my backup. I have Pearsall. I have
Pearsall's a good pick.
I have Brian Robinson just because what happens to McCaffrey if things happen. And then I got Ayuk stashed in an IR spot.
Nice.
So that's just kind of what I'm doing. Hey, the Niners strategy, I don't know what happened. I don't know. I never draft Niners, and suddenly I'm doing Niners. I'm like, I got Niners like everywhere.
Well, it's that shift in offense, right? Yeah. Like, they got these big playability players now. So, I mean, I had a fantasy draft on Saturday as well while the Clemson LSU's game is going on. So that's
I'm going back and forth
between the two, huh?
You weren't missing much.
Oh yeah, I wasn't, right? Garrett Nussmeier and Cade Klubnik putting absolute stinkers out there, but
yeah,
Otherwise, yeah, my drafts are generally separated.
Yeah. Anyways, that's what I did this week, and then Monday I went to the presser. I went to the Fresno State presser. That's about all I did. And I said, because all the folks showed up, and I guarantee you, everybody showed up, and they looked like they were on their day off. It was phenomenal. Although Ents, nice crisp suit, pop collar, he's got a rocking in terms of a Labor Day fit. Even Classy was wearing a sweatshirt. So, all right, Ents is dressed for the occasion. Anyways, we'll get into that presser later, but I wanted to dive into the game on Saturday. I know we're on Tuesday, but let's talk about it proper. Let's put a little bow on it in terms of it. And there's some interesting things to dive into with this game, because for about two quarters of that football game, I thought, wow, we are living through it again with this Kansas thing where we saw it last week. I will say, I think it was a much better performance than the first half of week zero. I will say the trajectory felt like it was going up for this football team, even what we saw in that first half, which, by the way, after pick number two, it felt like I was hearing boos from last year in terms of that. But I won't kill EJ Warner on everything like that, because I think there was some good bounce back. But, man, for a little bit of time, I felt like this team was going to lose it in terms of the season and where it was going to go. And I'm like, how are we going to dig it out of this certain hole? And lo and behold, play defense, run the football. It's as simple as that. And this team is winning outright, 42-14 in a game that felt like it was more competitive in the final score, and then suddenly it wasn't. That's what good teams do. to what I thought was a pretty decent team in Georgia Southern, I didn't feel like there was much change to what their season was looking like. But, man, to do that to that team in that second half, bottle that up. I don't know how we're going to do that, but I would love to see it again. But I thought it was a really good performance from the Bulldogs.
No, definitely a good performance. When we had that little pregame line come out and they were saying Georgia Southern were favored, I was kind of shocked at it. And then as I'm doing my fantasy draft, we look at the Fresno State score and they're down. And I'm like, okay, we could be in a scenario where the train's falling off the tracks at this point, and we're going to start have to ask questions even this early into the season. But, you know, thankfully Fresno State, you know, they got behind their rushing attack, and that's what I think they need to do to have success in this season. You have such good running backs at your disposal, and you have a system that you want to run the football. Just being hyper aggressive in that aspect is something that I think Fresno State should take away from this specific game. And I think it was big for them to have that experience of being down at halftime and having the resolve to come back and win in the fashion that they did in that second half. So, you know, props to Fresno State, even though it was a rocky start and we still do have questions for this team. I think there still should be props given to them for bouncing back from that second half or the first half deficit.
I was looking, I'm looking at the win probability chart of where what play made it the most in Georgia Southern's favor. And that was obviously the touchdown that put them up 14-10. But also, if you want to look at it as well, Georgia Southern was up pretty significantly, even by the third quarter when they took over the third quarter possession. They were at a 58.3 win percentage in terms of that. But the defense had to make a stop to start that second half. The defense had to do that in order for them to get the offense back on the field and get back on track with where it was. What I liked in terms of adjustments, I think specifically on the offensive side, I think I liked the adjustments in terms of what EJ was doing and what EJ was providing in terms of the pre-snap reads and where things were going. But also, I mentioned this on Gabe's show, EJ was running a little bit more, and I didn't think he was comfortable running for a little bit, but it was at the tail end of that second quarter, he ran a ball that got down to about the 18, 19-yard line that kind of basically got him into field goal range. I wish they hurried it up a little bit more in the end of that second half. I thought we could have gotten a touchdown in the situation. I thought it was a little too conservative to make it 14-13 at the end there, but I get it. You don't want to give Georgia Southern any opportunity to get the score and then come back and be on the field and try to get another one. The two for one, I guess you would say. But I liked how he used his legs a lot. When he is designed to roll out, I feel like there is good opportunity for him to throw the ball. When it is on the improvisation of rollouts, that's where we get into trouble. I gave the stat as well. 0 for 4 on passes beyond 20 yards, 2 picks. I don't know if I ever want to see. I know we have to find the deep element of our game at some point, and that is something teams will key on is, hey, they can't throw deep. That is something we'll have to figure out or scheme for, and that'll be concerning when we get into later parts of the season. But for now, it's working because the run game is working so well.
Yeah, and you saw when the run game isn't working what the offense accounts for in that Kansas game. So it is a little bit of a high-risk, high-reward type of scenario when you look at the volatility mm-hmm. of this quarterback or the volatility of this passing offense, I should say. And I do agree with you that the running game is where it lives and dies, where yeah. we have to score those points. And in terms of EJ Warner's performance, again, up and down, I wanted to see a little bit more of maybe not efficiency, but just being able to take care of the ball a little bit more. But I understand that he is trying to make plays happen. And, you know, I can't fault him for that. But I think in terms of consistency from EJ, I just think we need to see a little bit less of those mistakes happen.
Where you got something there?
You know, one of the funniest things was that whenever he made an error, that would go to his dad in the stands.
On the and then TV.
When he threw that interception, first thing was is straight to his dad. And I saw that. I was like, damn. Because you see that he was like he made a face like, oh, darn. You know, like, oh, you could have had that. Like, don't throw that. Or like, you know, like a dad. But, yeah, it was weird.
By the way, I want to start. I don't want to let him off the hook here. I thought it was such a strange game plan. I think we were throwing like 15, 16 passes in the first quarter. There were so many pass-heavy opportunities for this ball. I was shocked at how pass-heavy it was to start the game. At one point, I think, in the second quarter, we were -7 in rushing in terms of that. And, by the way, I get it that EJ feels like he has to make plays when the running game isn't working. And at that point, it wasn't working when he was throwing those picks. But then suddenly, things switched up in that game where the run game was finding the holes. I thought Donaldson, if I want to get nitpicky here from watching what I was watching on the field, I thought Donaldson did a little too much stutter in the backfield. He didn't really go forward as much. He didn't really just attack as much. He was kind of like waiting for something and then go. He started going a little bit more in the second half in terms of attacking the holes, attacking where he needs to go in terms of rush, and that's where he's good. And I think he needs to trust himself that those holes will open up. I know, by the way, by the fact it's reported yesterday, we will lose one of our offensive linemen, starting linemen to the year. Campbell McCark is out for the year. So that's going to be a tough person to replace. But the hope is that the reps will work for this team in terms of getting those offensive linemen in there that can make things happen. The tight ends, man, the tight ends were blocking really well in the game as well when I was doing a quick rewatch of it this weekend. So, props to all the players who made the adjustments. By the way, just kind of felt like a come to Jesus in the halftime locker room as well. I got to imagine that one was, we have played six quarters of football that is not our brand of football. And I think there was a lot of accountability held in that locker room. You could feel it. You could sense it. Those players coming out of the halftime locker room had a purpose. You just hope it bottles up in the next Saturday. But, yeah, I am excited for what is possible with this team. And if they play like what they did third, fourth quarter, are they winning the Mountain West? Are they beating Boise? Like, I feel like they can. Certainly with what we've seen in the Mountain West this week.
They look way better than Boise, by the way. So
yeah, they did.
Yeah. Boise got absolutely shellacked by USF, yeah, which was absolutely crazy. My biggest thing coming out of this game, I'm happy that we got to see a little bit more of Rayshon Luke. I think he is that, you know, guy that can put this team over the top when it comes to this offense. So him getting 10 touches compared to he got 2 touches.
He was my guy for Kansas. I thought he was going to be a big part of Kansas. Right. I was a week late.
Yeah, so I'm glad he got a little bit more on the in the ground game for this specific game.
Yeah. Any other thoughts? To me, I was a little like, oh, man, the fans are booing real quick in this game. I thought we were going to turn a little bit in terms of that. I did like the special teams play we had in the game as well. How about Malalu returning that big punt that set up a big score? I think that was the setting up the touchdown for the Bulldogs in that first quarter. It's not like the Bulldogs – I made a mistake asking Ence about like starting a little bit better or anything like that. I will say I think the Bulldogs started well. I really think they started well too. It was 10-0 after a blink of an eye in terms of that. It was just avoiding the 10 minutes of just absolutely horrendous play from both sides of the football.
One of the reasons why they were looking so bad is because they were making mistakes.
Yeah.
The interceptions, them the fumble. Well, and
the Donaldson fumble.
It wasn't like Georgia or Southern was, you know, all over you.
Yeah.
They weren't.
Yeah.
They just took advantage of the Dogs' mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they were beating themselves.
Yep. We should have been up 10. The Bulldogs should have been up 10 at the half. I was doing that tally. Donaldson would have ran that in there if he didn't fumble that ball down there at the 2. And frankly, if Warner doesn't throw that second pick, I think they're driving that ball as well. I think it was a second down pass. And yeah, Freeman, I don't know. I said this. You should definitely throw outside to the numbers instead of like inside and shallow to a defender that's right in front of a wide receiver. That's just simply not a pass you throw. But that's college ball for you. Last point. How about that conditioning from the team as well? Because I think the conditioning is what's paying off as well. That Fresno State team looked like a team that was getting stronger throughout the game. And by the way, I was joking this. I was like, I can't believe you get to just throw Elijah Gilliam when it's like white flag time. In terms of running the football, if that's the guy you have to stop when you've given up on the rest of the game, then like I'm telling you, this backfield's got 5 guys that can make things happen in terms of capabilities. Brandon Ramirez, awesome stuff again, awesome stuff, and what he was able to do. He is kind of an unsung guy in terms of what the Bulldogs are. People are going to learn about him and him being a local guy. He got a touchdown. That was probably a big thrill for him. Gilliam, awesome. I think Arsenault, we don't even still know quite what Arsenault can be, but I think he's got capabilities. He's a real physical kind of guy. And like I said, Speedy Luke, man, he's going to be a star. He's going to be a star this year. I would wonder, multi-touchdowns per week kind of guy, if it's potentially there. Like he is that much of a weapon, in my opinion, for this team.
Also, I think in terms of him especially, I think it should be a point to make to get him the ball creatively. Like he can in open space, the guy is just gonna burn anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can have some creativity in the offense and get him the ball, not only just straight up handoffs, but you know, in these swing passes or screen game, these type of motions can allow him to get into open space quicker and allow this offense to pick up chunk yards behind this guy.
Well, it's not even open space for him too. I think it's he had some touchdown runs. If you watch back his touchdown runs, you would see him hit the line. There's 2 guys on either side of him. He sheds a little bit and then gone. Right. Nobody's there.
Yeah.
And then like it's not just open space laterally. It is. If he gets by you, then forget about it in terms of that. And that's right. Somebody that's going to be a nightmare.
Well, to that point, right? Like he's doing that without that open space. Now give
exactly.
it to him. Oh, it's
yeah.
it's over for some of these teams.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's an 80-yard run if just like that to start a game. All right, we're overdue for a break. What are your thoughts, Fresno State football getting a dub? First win of the Matt Entz era. We need to know what you think about it. Of course, they come up against Oregon State next week, this Saturday, 12:30 kickoff. Can't wait to talk about that. Why don't we do it next on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. To Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here in a Monday feeling Tuesday here for our show. We're going over more of the Fresno State talk as well. Fresno State, man, is what a week a difference can make in terms of the confidence in this team and looking ahead at what can be possible with this group as well. Because I'll be frank, by around 7:45 on Saturday, I was sitting there like, man, 1-3 will be what I will accept in terms of potential wins, losses through this non-conference. But the Bulldogs are going to work through it here, and they take care of business, and now they ride momentum into this Oregon State game. Oregon State, a team that I would say struggled. I think that's a fair estimation to say in terms of what they did against Cal. I didn't get a particularly good watch at this game, but I did see some of the stuff surrounding it in terms of quarterback getting a little heated on the sideline. Sounded like coach didn't exactly appreciate the offensive output, per se. Also, a little bit of juice in this game if you're a Fresno State fan. How about wide receivers coach Pat McCann, former OC at Fresno State, is there now at Oregon State. So maybe a little revenge game, per se, about that. But it feels like Oregon State's a little defanged from their game and their loss to Cal, which wasn't even as close as the score reflected it too. So I wonder if that's a good thing or a bad thing that this Fresno State team is going in with this kind of confidence going against an Oregon State team that was wounded that much in week one, especially their home opener.
Yeah, before we get to Oregon State in general, I need to give a shout out to Cal's quarterback, Jaron Keawe Sagapolutele.
Nice.
He is absolutely insanely good. Like, I don't know if you saw how he played, but shout out to him because okay. He played absolutely amazing. I hope you go watch some film on this guy.
Yeah.
But go into the game now. Oregon State, I think that the biggest issue that they had was their kind of trademark run game was kind of stuffed against Cal. They only had 65 rushing yards. Their rushing attack was very ineffective. And Anthony Hankerson, who was the lone bright spot for this team, who had a short touchdown, like a wildcat touchdown.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like this ground game never got going. And now coming out of this game, they have some depth concerns on defense, playing some fourth string defensive linemen as well. This is going to be the biggest part where Fresno State can take advantage. Coming off of a loss is always a bad thing, but also coming off of a loss without your best players kind of compounds that. And now we see some of these issues happening with the quarterback and the coach. I think it's a matchup that Fresno State has to take advantage of. And if they have any aspirations to have a successful season, like a bowl game and Mountain West championship type of season, this is the game that you got to win with the circumstances that are happening around Oregon State.
What I think will be advantageous for this, I heard about big front four. That's what Coach Jens was talking about a lot in terms of that. So what a big front four means is this a front four that's capable of stuffing our own run in terms of that, on the aspect of it, but also in terms of more pressure for EJ Warner again and what stresses that provides on our offense in terms of it, if we want to look at it from that aspect. But on the offensive side, wonder if this feels a little lower scoring than games we have potentially. I think the defenses could win out here in terms of it, and it's just a matter of which offense can make a little bit less mistakes in terms of a game in Corvallis.
No, for sure. And you're talking about, big front four. This Oregon State team only had 7 sacks last season, yeah, which was absolutely horrendous. And they had no sacks in week one
against
Cal.
They addressed it this offseason.
Yeah, so it's not like the stat sheet is showing, the improvement or whatever, but they could certainly come out in this game against Fresno State and show out, especially with an injured offensive lineman on our end with Fresno State as well.
Yeah.
So definitely a big point of emphasis for Fresno State moving forward.
Well, I'm gonna change something up here. I'm gonna make this my daily spread of the day, brought to you by Trichancy Gold Resort and Casino. Be sure to play and hooray on their buffet day and slots. Be sure to stop by every Monday through the end of the month for 1,000 base points on slots to enjoy a free buffet at their California Market Buffet. I love a buffet, you know that. This is your daily spread brought to you by Trichancy Gold Resort and Casino. Fresno State, I think you already know the spread, Tanvir, unless you haven't looked at it in a little bit.
I actually have not.
You have you don't have an idea. Jorge, do you want to, Tanvir, do you guys want to take a guess on the spread, the opening spread for Fresno State, Oregon State this coming Saturday in Corvallis?
Is it I want to say it'd be around to the double digits, right?
Double digits. For who?
for Oregon State.
Oregon State double digit favorite. Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to, well, I don't know, but I'm going to guess probably like Fresno State's like a, or no, I think they might give it to Oregon State. I'm going to say Oregon State's like a field goal favorite.
2.5. Okay. Oregon State.
Yeah.
But Oregon State by 2.5. I think that could have been, if we didn't play last week's games, I think Oregon State was a 16-point favorite. In terms of it, I think like 8 points was attributed to their performance against Cal, and I think another like 5 was attributed to what Fresno State played against Georgia Southern. Now, it's a difference on the road in terms of it, but I find that fascinating. By the way, over-under, I find this one interesting. Well, and I think it's projecting kind of where I was looking at it in terms of the defenses a little bit. Over-under, 47.5. For this game between Oregon State and Fresno State. So they're not looking at a barn burner per se in terms of points. So lower scoring game, tighter game, field goal game. According to my app, it says weather, 71 and some rain potential in Corvallis. So we'll see what football potentially could yield in a game like this. I don't know how crazy it could get in that term, but I find it interesting that the Vegas Sharks are looking at that as a lower scoring game, but I think they're reading what I'm reading.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Both of these quarterbacks have started off the year with a little bit of mistakes.
Yeah.
Both of them, Malik Murphy, he threw an interception in his game. EJ Warner has thrown 4 over the last 2 games. And I think both of these defenses have the opportunity to get some of these mistakes off of both of those guys. And that's exactly why this game is projected to be a lower scoring game for sure.
Trent Walker, he had a big game in terms of statistically, 9 catches for 146. What did he look like in this game? Is he more of a speed guy, physical guy? What was he looking at?
I mean, he does just provide like a reliable target for this team. I think coming into this year, that's what the expectation was.
Yeah.
But I think in this game, he kind of showed out in a pass game that needed more efficiency coming into this season. So he's definitely a big target that needs to be taken care of in terms of the passing game. But I think that the rushing game is still the main priority because that is what Oregon State is built upon. they've built their offense upon.
And I think what's interesting about this game is it's going to be a conference game next year. Like this is going to matter in terms of that. So we're building the rivalry already. So I'm almost already counting this as like our 9th conference game this year in terms of that, just because of it. But I also want to say, I wonder if there is going to be some juice to this in terms of the angst around it, or like who's going to be chirping and who, and what kind of things are going to be built out of it. I do like the fact that this is not the home opener for Oregon State. They already blew that out last week in terms of what Cal was able to do. But it's fascinating where my perspective is. And by the way, I don't want to run into the trap that I feel like this game is now a potential easy win for the Bulldogs. But this is going to be a difficult one simply because Oregon State is going to adjust. They are going to have time to adjust to themselves. And Coach Entz made this point in his Monday presser as well, is that Fresno State was afforded the opportunity of knowing where they were bad at things. Now Oregon State has that opportunity, and they will look to fix it. And so,
yeah. And by the way, Malik Murphy, he got a rushing TD, and we already saw how Jalen Daniels carved us up in the running game at the quarterback position. Yeah. I'm not saying that he is that type of rushing quarterback, but he still can definitely hurt the Fresno State Bulldogs defense on that.
He
part
is
of the
falling
field.
Forward. He will not be pushback in yeah. terms of that. He is 6'5" and a large man. He will be falling far forward for yards. So point of impact on the quarterback if he starts getting outside and trying to run is very important in terms of those extra few yards, especially if he's trying to get third down and 8, third down and 10 stretches where suddenly the edge just gives away. And, yeah, we were in our same kind of trouble against Kansas from a couple weeks ago. So there's a lot to look for in this game, and it'll be interesting how it kind of develops throughout the week. We'll dive into it more later in this week. I just wanted to do a little touch-up into it. But I wanted to do a little take a look at the Mountain West as a whole after week one, take stock into things. And why don't we have a little fun talking about the college football weekend as well? Wow, we're already wrapping up hour number one coming up next. Before I do that, I do have something to tell the folks here at home. So why don't I do that right now? And I got to tell the people about DraftKings. That's right. DraftKings NFL fans, week one is your shot to play for free and stack $1 million cash bag with DraftKings Pick 6, an official partner of the NFL. Here's how. You download the DraftKings Pick 6 app, DraftKings' easiest way to play fantasy. You enter for free. You pick more or less on 6 player stats for week one. Talking about sharing this link with your friends, you add more cash to the bag and get bonus shots to win. Hit all 6 picks and you'll be splitting a bag that's already at $1 million and more. So be sure to download the DraftKings Pick 6 app. Use code KFIG, opt in for free. Start stacking entries for NFL Week 1. Zero cost, huge upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Void where prohibited. Must claim token for free entry into Bag Builder contest. Only perfect entries earn share of cash prize. Tokens are single use and expire September 8th at 8:15 p.m. Eastern. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Wrapping up hour number one here on the show. And good to have you here. By the way, we have a nice new fresh schedule for you all. Let me do a little run through of that for you all coming up in the next coming week. Tonight, like we said, Giants and Rockies coming up. A's are in St. Louis for A's and Cardinals, so that'll be at 4 o'clock, which is coming up in just a little bit, that pregame, 4 o'clock, 4:35, first pitch from St. Louis. Tomorrow we'll have my show from 3 to 5. Tony's before it, 2 to 3. We're going to have Giants and Rockies again at 5:10 with a 5:40 first pitch from Colorado. Sunbird Sports Show, Paul Metters is going to have another edition of that tomorrow at 7:90. That's going to be a 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. play as well. Thursday we'll have Sportsline Bulldog Hour with Tony D from 2 to 3. We'll have my show from 3 to 5, and then at 5 o'clock, NFL kicks off. Dallas, Philly, from Philadelphia. We'll have that 5 o'clock on 1430. Go enjoy some football. Can't wait. Friday we'll have Sportsline Bulldog Hour with Tony D from 2 to 3. We'll have my show from 3 to 5, and then we will have Clovis West. First time looking at the Clovis West team here this season. They got Edison of Stockton. That's going to be at Buchanan High. 7 p.m. pregame with a 7:30 kickoff. Myself, Paul Metters, on the call for that one on Friday. A's and Angels throughout the weekend. Central Valley Sports Report will be on Saturday, 10 a.m. to noon. And then on Sunday, here is your NFL slate. We'll have the Niners and Seahawks on 14:30 at 12:05 p.m. pregame with a 1:05 kickoff. Sunday Night Football will also be at 14:30 between the Baltimore Ravens and the Buffalo Bills. On the morning side on 7:90, you'll have a 9:30 pregame with a 10:05 kickoff between the Raiders and the Patriots. As soon as Raiders and Patriots wraps up, Rams and Texans will be kicking off from there. That's a 1:05 kickoff there from L.A. And then we'll have some Monday Night Football as well. coming up on Monday. Major Wager Monday, by the way. Hello, we're back. Me and Ed's Victory Grill. Be sure to join us for Vikings and Bears at 5 o'clock. We'll have that game also on 1430. Can't wait to bring that to you. All right, let's do a little round out of the entire weekend of college sports as well. Little touch on the little Mountain West side of things. We were talking about some stuff in terms of that as far as where is it? Why am I getting some weird tabs in ESPN? I'm telling you. We are an ESPN company, but I will say we need some work on our on the website there in terms of it. I don't know who develops anything. All right. Anything notable on the Mountain West side of things? I had, obviously, we talked about Boise to an extent last time. In terms of other games, San Jose State losing by a field goal twice on Friday. That was brutal in terms right. of that for Central Michigan. I had higher hopes for San Jose State. I'm a little shocked at that one in terms of it. Did Nevada cover? What was it, 43.5? I think Nevada did cover with a 46-11 loss.
35-point spread?
I said it. Tamir, I would have bet $1 million on Nevada to cover that.
You would have been a multimillionaire at this point.
I would have loved it. I would have loved it.
I think both of these Mountain West teams that played the Big Ten guys in Penn State and Michigan, they played.
Yeah.
I mean, Nevada, not necessarily, but New Mexico, I thought, played pretty well.
Valiant effort from New Mexico. That trick play, they got some things going.
Amazing.
Yeah, if you didn't see, what did they fake? They faked the tush push or something like that, or at least a sneak.
Yeah,
and so they just let the ball roll to the back behind the running back there.
Quarterback was under center, and the snap was direct to the running back.
Yeah,
and then the tight end just flared out, and it was just a touchdown over the top. It was a really nice play from the Lobos.
Nice. Lobos 0-1. Air Force, big win over Bucknell. Hawaii, woof, against Arizona, 40-6. So that wasn't competitive at all in terms of the Rainbow Warriors. I liked what I saw from Colorado State for a little bit on Saturday night against Washington. That game got over pretty late there. Washington was giving it all they could in terms of that, and then finally it's kind of started turning the other way. I'm telling you, I think now I'm kind of sitting here thinking, I'm like, it's Boise, it's Colorado State, I feel like, is kind of in the best spot Mountain West-wise after week one, if I had to really look at it. I think I kind of like what Colorado State's given based off that game against Washington.
Yeah, I think that's the general sense. I thought I had a little bit more hope for UNLV to do something, but both of those games, they have won them, but it just has not been impressive per se. They won by 17 against Sam Houston after, what did they beat? Yeah, they beat Idaho State by a touchdown. So even though they are 2-0, I think that there is a little bit of concern going on for UNLV.
I'll probably go in it later in the week, the Mountain West slate for week two, but it's going to be interesting. All right, big college football stuff. Shroud it out here because we don't get another opportunity to talk about the college football side of things. You know when you're chronically online is when you start reading UNC instead of UNC. And I was feeling bad for UNC last night in terms of that. Rough to watch. Rough to watch my old guy, Billy B., get mollywopped like that on national TV to the point where Kirk Herbstreit's putting his dog on air, making him a Brock. I don't know if you saw that clip.
I did see that. That was I don't know. A lot of people took offense to that. I mean, if you're down 40-6,
oh my gosh,
what are we,
folks?
What are we
it's an entertainment product, folks.
Yeah.
There's no decorum. Calm down.
You're down by 34.
Yeah. What are you going to do? You're trying to entertain people and keep people watching the channel. Herbstreit's trying to do everything he can to keep people watching this game.
Exactly.
And UNC is doing him no favors.
And let me get the dog doing collar. Like,
exactly. You hear him just panting on air. Like, that was hilarious. That was objectively hilarious. Good old Pete. Pete was living his life. That was one of the games. I had fun watching Miami Notre Dame. I almost kind of felt like that was the game of the weekend.
I agree. I think that was clearly the game of the weekend. Carson Beck did, you know, a couple of things that kind of surprised me. I'm still not a believer in him. Yeah. But I think that he definitely did some things that impressed me in that game. So big win for Miami at home against Notre Dame.
Do you think there's overreactions to Texas, or do you feel like this is Ohio State's defense just coming right at it as far as that's concerned?
I mean, for me personally, I saw this in the range of outcomes for Texas because you're on the road against the defending champions. Yes, they have Julian Sain, who was a redshirt freshman, right? Mm-hmm. And you didn't know how that was going to work, but they still have Carnell Tate. They still have Jeremiah Smith. So the offense, I thought the Texas defense played very well.
I was about
to
say, nobody's talking about good defense that Texas was playing.
Exactly. And so then, yes, Ohio State still does have a good defense. Yes, they lost Jack Sawyer and Tuli Molowau, I think that's how his name was. But you lost all these guys, sure, but this team is still really good, and it was a road game. I think Arch Manning will bounce back next week, even though a lot of people are overreacting at the low-scoring game that Texas had.
Then I think the other big one I think to pay attention to, Kalen DeBoer's Alabama team. Rough start to their season. First loss since like 2001 for Alabama in week one or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, they're just an absolute shell of themselves at this point. Like, I think that Kalen DeBoer has not brought in that same level of intensity that those Nick Saban teams have. But big up to Tommy Castellanos. I thought he looked pretty good.
Hey, if the kitchen gets too hot, Kalen, we'd love to have you.
Exactly. We'd love to have you.
We'd love to have you back in some form or capacity. All right. That's all we got. Can't wait for college football to get back to it. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all that great stuff. So I can't wait. It's back. It's back and ready to roll. All right. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. Stay with us. 1430 Behind the Bench rolls along on the Central Valley Sports Leader.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guest.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. It's, is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last five, 6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Here on this Tuesday afternoon, taking you one more hour before we send it off to Giants baseball in Colorado. One more series with the Rockies before Giants head on to St. Louis. Then they head home, and then they've got the Diamondbacks, then they've got the Dodgers, then they've got the Diamondbacks on the road, and then they got the Dodgers on the road, and then they end the year with the Cardinals, and then they end the year with the Rockies. Such a weird September for the Giants.
You're saying is there's a chance.
They only play four teams the rest of the year for the entire month of September. It's so strange.
A lot of stacking of the division opponents for sure.
I'm not saying I'm a believer just quite yet in the Giants. Talk to me in a week if they win like five more in a row. But I'll tell you this, outside of the Dodgers, it ain't really a murderer's row of opponents out there for this Giants team.
Dude, the absolute roller coaster of emotions that this Giants, the fans of Giants teams must be facing over these last couple of months is absolutely insane.
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing the calculus. Talk to me if they're down. Like, talk to me if they're out of the wild card by a game next Monday.
Honestly, maybe, talk to me once they're in the playoff picture. Yeah. I can't really believe anything in this team versus like or before they can actually make a playoff spot.
Hold on. How far back are they from the Dodgers? Real quick. I'm just curious if there's anything in question. I don't think there's anything in question. Okay, 9.5, 7 to play.
Are we saying a sweep of the Dodgers?
7 in a row? Huh?
We are losing to Pittsburgh right now.
We're losing the plot, too. Yeah. the Padres just lost their like setup guy for the rest of the year, a quad tendon tear. I saw that. I don't know if you saw that play. Jason Adam tried to like run off the mound, and his left leg just dissipated. It just collapsed. And he just laid on the ground, and he's like, I'm done.
Yeah. I hate lower extremity injuries. Like, that's such a tough thing to come back
from. I don't know what that feels like. I feel like that's like one of those weird situations because every time I see some guy like tear an ACL or know something happen, he's got like the most stoic look on his face. Like nothing happened, but you just know.
It just takes a minute to get like up to the brain. And like, you're just like,
oh, I can't use my leg anymore. That's, and I don't have that feeling. First of all, I don't know how that feels. But I gotta imagine it's one of the stranger.
Let's hope we never have that feeling.
Exactly. If I tear my ACL here at the radio station, then there's something severely going wrong.
It's gonna be when we try to test out that 100-yard theory.
I'm gonna be asked to do a TikTok, and something bad's gonna happen in terms of it. All right. Let's talk about some football. But let's talk about high school real quick. I wanted to recap a little bit on the high school front, because I thought there were some really interesting things that came out of Friday's slate of games. Specifically out of our game we had last week with Clovis beating Salinas. Now, I know Clovis beating Salinas isn't like the most groundbreaking result in terms of things that could be given in the central section, but in terms of the way they played, and I think it's fair to say, and I got an opportunity to see what I think we now know is feels like the arguably the two best teams in the central section, and I saw them back-to-back weeks. I sit here, and I wonder, and even though, let me see if I got it here real quick on the Max Preps rankings, because I'm genuinely curious where they have people ranked in terms of this. Wow. Okay. They still got still got Central at one. Mm-hmm. Still got Clovis East at three. By the way, Clovis East keeps winning.
Yeah, finding a way.
Finding a way. That regular game win streak still going. They got Sanger this week. That'll be interesting. Clovis at four right now, in terms of where things are at. But I'd argue, and I'm not trying to do the recency bias thing, but I'd argue I think Clovis is right now the most impressive team in the Central section, as we speak. But
I mean, out of the two teams that we saw, Central East and Clovis, I talked about it on Paul's show, right? Like, mm-hmm. to have success, especially in high school football and even to an extent into college, right? If you have a good quarterback and then combine that with a good weapon, whether that be a running back or a receiver, and you have a good D-line, those three things, I think you can really build upon that regardless of whatever issues you have beyond that. And Clovis High showed me in their game against Salinas that they definitely have a really good quarterback, they got a good receiving core, and that defensive line is very, very potent.
Yeah. They have some guys with some motors. They can make things happen. And frankly, I'm trying to think of like mistakes Clovis made, and I can't really name many in terms of that.
No, not for. I mean, I think that the biggest positive that I got out of this game for Clovis High, beyond just like not having that many mistakes, is I thought their defensive line did so good at stopping the run early in that game. And that's definitely something that they can take into the playoffs once they get to there.
The wrinkle in this whole thing, and the wrinkle in what the landscape of high school football looks like right now, I said the ranking has, it's got Central East at one, it's got Clovis North at two, Clovis East at three, Clovis at four. I'm not saying Clovis East is not there, but I mean, they struggled against a Kingsburg team who's good, but they're just not putting up the kind of numbers and opportunity that I think we've seen out of Clovis High. Clovis North, I think, still somewhat is going to be belonging in this conversation. I'm curious to see what they look like. They battled against Redwood this past week, a really big back and forth matchup between the two teams. I mean, I'm looking at some of the stats from this this matchup they had against Redwood High, and I'm telling you, Clovis North is a team I'm still trying to kind of bookmark, and I'm going to try to still figure out, because I don't know if I know much about them outside of what they were presenting, but they have speed. It looks like they've got a little leaner in terms of the offensive side. I think they can be a little more versatile. I think the question mark is Clovis North's defense isn't quite what it was the last few years in terms of it, but I think there's still some guys there. I'm wondering if Clovis North is inviting themselves in the conversation. We're going to have them in 3 weeks. So I think it's going to be an interesting wrinkle to see where they sit. But outside of that, it feels like those are kind of the top teams. But then I also invite Clovis West into here. And Clovis West is having this interesting start to the season. By the way, they balled out against Liberty last week. I'm trying to see if I can find the score real quick in terms of what they did. 43-14. Mm-hmm. Liberty's... I don't know what's going on with Liberty's defense. they've dropped 40 points in the last two games. That doesn't seem to be what Liberty of Bakersfield wants to be like in terms of that. So we've seen it both ways. Like I said, this game for Edison versus Clovis West in terms of this matchup should be an interesting one. J.J. Howard feeling like he kind of do a lot of things on the football field now. Tavier, you're saying you're hearing people talk about when we're Paul's show. Like, people have a lot of hype around what Clovis West has.
Yeah, and people are heaping a lot of praise on J.J. Howard, as you said. A sophomore quarterback, am I right?
Yeah, sophomore.
Yeah, so, like, if you can compete at that level, just imagine what this guy can do when we get to the senior year. I think that they definitely are a team to look out for just because of that factor alone.
There's so much to like about this coming week, too. Sanger at Clovis East. Like I said, we were here last year. Clovis East, of course, completely different team, totally new starters, but finding a way to win. Sanger's got to lick their chops a little bit and get back to it. They got to lick their wounds, I mean, because that was a tough game to drop to Hanford, a 4-point loss on the road. They get a little bit of a longer week to get ready for it. I feel like Sanger's got some guys. They got the McCrew kid, who's a good running back in terms of it. That could be a really good game. Clovis is at Frontier. This is another game because Frontier, can you imagine Frontier dropping to 0-3 in Central Section play this season, losing to Oak Ridge the way they did, losing to Liberty of Brentwood. By the way, Frontier's only scored 7 points this year.
Yeah, I was looking at that. I was like, that is insane.
When is the last time you heard Frontier Bakersfield only scoring 7 points through 2 weeks of football? Like, I don't... Like, Frontier's always been a good team, right?
Right. It's a must win at this point, and it's going to be a tough matchup for sure.
I want to shout out Golden West a little bit. They're kind of fun. I want to talk about how they're doing. 2-0, by the way. Two big wins. They beat Dinuba 48-19. And how about this kind of performance from this week? I was looking through some of the stats. How about Isaac Oseguera? 8 catches, 260, 3 touchdowns. From the wide receiver position. Those are some of the shout outs I've seen. Actually, I wonder, because I have a little bit of a list of some guys in terms of that. How about Will Bacon for Reedley? We talked about it Thursday. He rushed 6 touchdowns, a program record as a quarterback. How about 20 rushes for 242 and 6 touchdowns as a quarterback in a game against Sunnyside? Jared Mal, he had a 293 through the air, 5 touchdowns. He also rushed for 41 and a touchdown, so that's 6 total there. How about this stat line for out of Washington Union? Jerriel Albert, running back, also a guy out of the defense as well. 201 on the ground through with 11 rushes. So you want to calculate that yardage. 18.3 yards per carry, 3 touchdowns. Also, how about 2 picks on the defensive side as well? So... I got one more for you. Alex Asatrian, running back out of Fresno Christian. 22 rushes, 251, 3 touchdowns. That's 11.4 yards per carry for the Fresno Christian group there, the Eagles, as they beat Sage Hill on a Saturday. Man, those are some big-time performances in terms of that. I can't wait to see what high school football will look like next week. But I'm excited about our game. I really am. I can't wait to see it. We've had a crazy one the last time we had Clovis West on in terms of what they provided. Tavier, I don't know if you heard about that week one game last year against Edison at Huntington Beach.
No, I didn't. Let me know.
Let me see. I'm trying to wonder if I can go back to it real quick. I wonder if I can find the box score because it'll jog my memory in terms of how things kind of went. It was pretty crazy.
This is Clovis West you're talking
this
about?
This is Clovis West. They won 29-28 after they went for 2 to end the game. Edison's up 21-7 by the end of the first quarter. And then Clovis West scores 2 touchdowns with, I believe, something in the realm of like 20 seconds left in the first half. They scored 2 touchdowns. Once to end the half, then the kick returner fumbled the ball. And then Clovis West scores what I thought was short of the goal line, but it was on the far side, so I couldn't really tell. But they called it a touchdown and tied it up at 21 with no time remaining on an end-of-half play, which was pretty insane. Edison comes back. They take a score 28-21 lead after 3, And then Clovis West at the last minute scores a touchdown. J.J. Howard's first game-winning drive scores a two-point conversion on a fake extra point attempt.
Absolutely insane.
Just psychotic stuff. Psychotic stuff from this game. You know, it was funny because Pat was like, they're not gonna kick this extra point. They're going for two. And he was still adamant. Even in the formation, he knew in that game that they were going to go for two. One of the all-timers in terms of that. I really want another one. I don't think Clovis West fans will want another one of those.
A little bit of raising the blood pressure department for sure.
Hey, we like drama. And let's be honest, Tavier. We've been lacking in the drama department so far.
Yeah, last two games haven't really been the closest. But
yeah,
it's bound to be a close game soon, right?
We'll hit a close game.
So, yeah.
We'll hit a
close
game.
So, the next one, tune in. That's probably going to be the close game.
Hey, guarantee? Nah, we'll save those. We'll save those for the special occasions. All right. We're going to get to one of my favorite segments that I like to do in the football season. It's part one of a Benatti Blitz. We rank the games. And then on Friday, we pick the games. So we're ranking the games of the week for the NFL schedule slate week one. You don't want to miss it. Benatti Blitz coming up next on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench. You're on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Couple of news items to get to. By the way, a top sports story brought to you by Valley Pure over the weekend. Guess who got paid?
Who?
Deron Bland.
Yes, he did.
4 years, what, 92 mil? Is that what I saw or something like that? In the 90s range. Guess somebody can get paid in Dallas. I guess... I think this is a good move for Dallas, at least. The hope is Deron Bland isn't a guy who will be hampered with injuries like he did last year. But he's a legit NFL talent, and he can prove that and can be that kind of guy for him. And they need somebody like that on the defense, especially with what they have traded away with Micah Parsons now. But I like it for our guy. I like it for Deron Bland. The hope is that it's gonna work out, and it seems like it can in Dallas for the next 4 years at least.
I mean, he definitely showed how good he can play. You know, I think it was, what, 2 years ago he had that record pick six season. So he definitely has the upside. I think this is a good contract to lock in a corner of his magnitude for this team for the foreseeable future. And then you also have the draft capital on the back end for the Michael Parsons trade. So I like what they're building here in Dallas. I don't know if it's going to work out this season per se in terms of playoff success, but they definitely have the tools to get the playoff success down the line for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Let's get into the time of the show I can't wait to get into. But first, we are bringing you the Benatti Blitz. And for those who were not here last year in terms of it, this is what we did. We did the Benatti Blitz on a Tuesday where I would rank every game of the week. In terms of my personal viewing pleasure, what am I going to be watching? What am I locking into in terms of each game in the NFL? It does not have to necessarily mean good teams are involved or bad teams are involved. It is certainly my personal taste. I'm sure, Tanvir, you have a running list of yours as well. What we're going to do here, though, is I'm going to go through my entire list, and if there are any differences at the end or if you have it a little higher, a little lower, and then we'll see where it kind of lands in terms of that. But did you have fun with this exercise?
Yeah, I did. I originally only had a top five, but then when I realized we were ranking the entire NFL slate, I found myself looking at some of these games and I was like, honestly, I think it's a good first week overall.
It's always good when we have nothing that we know nothing.
No, for sure. Definitely. But I think some of these matchups definitely have some storylines behind them, regardless of who is playing who. You know what I mean?
You wonder if the NFL knew what they were doing when they put the schedule together for week one.
Maybe.
Where you don't feel like there is somewhat of a dud. I have one dud. There's one dud in there. In terms of my opinion, but okay. I'm curious to see if we agree on that.
I have a couple.
I do have a couple, actually. I'll say there's two there. So before we get started, this Spinati Blitz is going to be brought to you by your local grocery outlet in Sanger, Kerman, and in the Fresno Northwest, Southeast, and Downtown locations. Be sure to stop by, get tailgate ready with Grocery Outlet. That's right. We're giving away two tickets and $100 to your next tailgate if you just sign up by visiting the stores in those locations. We have five more winners to get to this season. We'll be drawing a winner next week for the Tailgate Ready contest, so you can get tickets to the Southern game against Fresno State, and you get $100 towards your tailgate. Chambier, $100 to a tailgate. That will go a long way, I would bet, in terms of providing food for watching some football.
Oh, for sure. Very impressive.
Yeah, so $100. We like it. All right. Are you ready?
We are.
I'm locked and loaded.
I am too.
Let's get going here. Week one of the NFL season. It's back and ready to go. And I'm ready to go to do nothing but watch football this weekend. And we will start with a game I do not want to watch whatsoever, and that is the Jets and the Steelers. Yes, that is my number one overall pick in terms of games I will avoid. What a worse way to start week one for both of these teams. I mean, is there really any interest? How about seeing a 40-year-old plus quarterback go back to the graveyard of where his Achilles has come and gone? He has yet to play a meaningful football game since that game 3 years ago where I laughed my you-know-what off because of the misery the Jets fans provide. I hate these two teams. I don't want to watch these two teams. Aesthetically, yellow and green playing against each other is nothing to even care about. I hate this game. Put it off my screen. I swear if Scott Hansen puts it in the Octobox, I'm leaving.
Hey, you know, one thing I can agree with is that color combination of the jerseys. Those are absolutely terrible. But I did have this a little higher just because of the Aaron Rodgers piece of it all.
That's fair. Maybe a little biased by me.
Well, yeah, when you're laughing about somebody's injury.
I think it's the only acceptable one. All right, next up. I got the Browns and the Bengals here, which I feel like the Browns can be somewhat unwatchable. Old man Joe Flacco, you know, it's amazing he's still in this league, still doing the thing he's been doing. He was drafted when I was a freshman in high school. That is a long time ago. Honestly, it could have a bad smell test after a few quarters. This could be like a 16-10, whatever the Bengals were doing in week one against the Patriots. The Bengals never play good football in week one. I don't feel it happening in this game. It could be a field goal either way. But either way, aesthetically, also, I'm not watching the Battle of Ohio in week one.
Yeah, I have a little bit more of a sense that this game is going to be a little bit better. I like the Joe Flacco aspect versus, you know, Joe Burrow and this new offense coming back at this point, but this is definitely not one of the better games to watch in week one for sure.
Next up, I have the Colts and the Dolphins here, and want to see some teams that could be a disaster. You're looking at both of them. Danny Dimes versus a team that everybody is joking about in this offseason in terms of the way they prepared. Can't wait to see that. Not. This game aesthetically, never appealing. I'm watching a cave when it comes to watching games in Indy. This like turquoise green color against this dark blue of Indianapolis. I haven't had a relevant game between these two teams since 2000, when I think the Dolphins last won a playoff game when they beat Peyton Manning as a second-year quarterback. Get this one off my screen as well. Colts, Dolphins.
Oh, I totally agree. This is my number 16 in terms of my list. If we're going from 1 through 16, I mean, these two teams are both car wrecks. The only thing that's interesting about this game is probably Tyler Warren and his hair. Otherwise, I think this is a horrible matchup to watch. If you are watching this matchup instead of watching some red zone or another matchup in the morning window, all props to you, but this is absolutely a horrible matchup for me.
Prayers up for Joe Gomez. All right. Next up, I have the Saints and the Cardinals here at number whatever it is. I don't do the numbers. I just have them going. Anyways, the Saints, how about a watchable disaster? We'll see. How long will Spencer Rattler last? A quarter? A two quarters? Can I get three? I swear if he goes to four, I'm not there. I'm not watching it. The Cardinals, I'm interested in, though. I do like what they have a little bit. This is one of those games where you could see them really put the how the Saints started last year? I have a feeling the Cardinals could be that kind of team if they go crazy on the offensive end and the way they look. Could be one of those overperforming teams people look at. That's the only reason I'm kind of going into it. Plus, I have a little bit of a fantasy thing because I think I had Kyler in a league or two.
Yeah, I'm only interested in this game because this is my second lowest, just for how many fantasy points Marvin Harrison Jr. and Trey McBride can actually get in this game, because they are going to be feasting if Kyler is dishing them the ball. So that's kind of the only point. The Saints are, overall are just a horrible team to watch, in my opinion. Just so boring. And I think the car wreck is the biggest thing for the Saints.
If only they had another car hanging around. Anyways. Next up. We got the Jags and the Panthers in, I think this is in Duval. I hope it is. I don't want to get it wrong. I do think this is a tier up of, from the other games in terms of that step above. It's a cat fight and a battle. Whoever wins can believe they can be a playoff crasher. I do believe these teams have the outside of outside chances to get back into that playoff conversation. AFC 7 seed, wide open. It's insane. How about getting frisky for an entertaining game? Maybe the most entertaining game since a monsoon game I remember watching back in Carolina when Blaine Gabbert was starting a quarterback, and I remember objectively seeing fans dumping water out of their feet with a beer cup in Carolina. I don't think we get that, or maybe we do, because usually there's always something going on weather-wise week one. Can't wait to see these two teams tussle.
Yeah, I agree. This is a very interesting matchup because I think both of these teams are in the same boat on the AFC and NFC side, where they're teams that have been terrible over the last couple of years but have the opportunity to get to the playoffs. So I really am interested in this matchup. And, yeah, I had it slightly higher on my list than you did, but otherwise it's basically the same.
Next up. I have the Patriots and the Raiders here, although I could say it could move a little bit higher, but I do think this is maybe I'm just hate watching the Patriots. I don't know if I want to watch it as much as other people do, but hey, Pete Carroll regime, let's see what it looks like week one. Vrabel, hopefully he can bring the magic back in Tennessee that he had there with Tannehill, maybe if the Patriots are getting going. Lot to like about this matchup. Is it aesthetically going to be good football? We're running the football a lot in this game. Maybe not the most flashy of plays out there in terms of both wide receiver units. I'm not excited about the wide receiver ones matchup between Stephon Diggs and formerly retired Amari Cooper. So good luck if you're looking for points in this one. I simply think it'll be a slower game than most.
Hey, remove your reverse bias. This is a good game to watch on Sunday. I'm saying this. Travion Henderson versus Ashton Jeanty, the running back rookie running back matchup is all you need to see, in my opinion. I think both of those guys will be very good, along with both of these new coaches. So I am very interested in this specific game for sure.
All right. Next up. Falcons and Buccaneers. It's just one of those sloggy 10 a.m. NFC South games. If he was still broadcasting games, Sam Rosen would be on this one. And if people who are of nerdom like I am, who will pay attention to the broadcast teams, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Otherwise, Tampa got a lot of weapons to pay attention to. Got a lot of guys on my fantasy implications in this game as well. I'm looking at daily fantasy opportunities potentially in this one. Falcons, man. Nothing screams more mid-tier of middle-tier games than these two teams battling on it. Somehow it's going to be a one-score game because that's just how the NFC South works, no matter who's good and who's not. So at least it'll be close and make things a little bit more watchable.
Yeah, I mean, you said it perfectly. This is the most mid of mid games that we have in this slate. Like, I like both of these teams. It's probably going to be a fun matchup, probably going to be a top five game in terms of the outcome. But going into the game, I could honestly care less.
Yeah. Next up, the Broncos and the Titans here. I know people don't think Tennessee is going to do much this year, but anytime a rookie quarterback starts his game, I'm flagging it as we'll see what he's got here, because guys can take the league by storm real fast, real quick. Just look at what Bo Nix did last year. Just look at what Jaden Daniels did last year. Cam Ward, if he's special, suddenly we're going to be seeing something different in this football game. The Broncos are everybody's little hot darling team out there that everybody thinks, oh, I can sneak him into a playoff, maybe an AFC West champion pick, maybe even a Super Bowl pick because they got the Sean Payton thing. But let's be honest, this game's going to be 26-21 and Cam Ward's going to have the football with 2 minutes to go and we're locked in.
Yeah, I had this much lower on my list because that defense is absolutely going to feast upon Cam Ward. I think Cam Ward does have a good season by year's end, but I think it's you're going to Mile High in your first game against this specific defense. I just think it's just a recipe for a disaster for this game, so I had it much lower on my list.
That's fair. Next up, I have the Commanders and the Giants. This one smells like an upset. I'm just saying that. But anyways, I'm not going to give away it just quite yet. It has the sniff test in terms of that. Can the Commies find the magic they had last year? Can the Giants simply pass rush you to death, make you want to quit football? That is simply could possibly be the possibility out of this game. Who's going to take a lead first? The only thing really dragging this down is just I don't want to hear Russell Wilson talk or do anything or call snap counts or cadences.
You don't want to hear about the danger,
no,
witch?
No, I'm out. Giants country, get me out of here.
Giants country.
Let's ride.
Yeah, honestly, I have this game higher than the Eagles-Cowboys game because of the players on both sides. I'm so happy and interested for this defensive line because it feels like something positive has come to the Giants for once in a blue moon.
Yeah.
I mean, you have this revamped offense, Cam Scataboo's on the Giants, and then the Commanders are just coming off of a shock NFC championship run, and we're going to see how they build upon this. So I had this pretty high compared to where – I mean, not pretty high, but like I had this higher than compared to what you had.
Next up, it's the game on Thursday, the Eagles and the Cowboys, in the sense of it. How about that NFC East just all playing each other? That's what the NFL wants. They want to just showcase that entire division because I'm saying in tongue-in-cheek terms, you can't get enough of the NFC East, apparently. But let's be honest. We're going to hear about the soap opera. We're going to hear all the background about what happened with the Micah Parsons things. Everyone's going to have their own take on it. And then the Cowboys are going to be up like 16-14 by halftime, and everyone's going to look at it. And then suddenly the Eagles are going to find some way to make it happen. But we'll see. We'll see. But how about this? Shootout element in this game, potentially? Things always get squirrely in week one. And I'm curious to see what this receiver core looks like. Pickens, Lamb. I'm going to make it happen in terms of watching that game for sure. Can't wait to get out of my show and go home and check that one out.
If I'm not mistaken, I think the last time the Eagles won the Super Bowl, I think they played the Falcons in the opening game.
They did.
That was a pretty cool game that came down to the wire, I thought. And so I think this has a similar feeling to it. I think Philly will ultimately win. But I think Pickens and Lamb could – I mean, it's a tasty matchup between them versus Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell. I think that's just a perfect matchup, so that's why I really like this game.
There's things to offer, people. There's things to offer with the Cowboys. Next up, Bears, Vikings, Monday night football. Will I ever have faith in the Bears? I am a scorned person of picking the Bears the last 20, 25 years. Has to start between these two potential playoff teams. I mean, they are. Hey, you want a little something here to something to whet the appetite? How about JJ McCarthy? He's a second-year quarterback. Guess who also started as a second-year quarterback? Tom Brady. Guess who also came from Michigan? JJ McCarthy, second coming of Tom Brady. Whoa. Hold on. We're going too fast. I'm in a hole. Anyways, I say this tongue-in-cheek. Got to start with a win on the road. Big one for Chicago, though, at home. I think the stakes are as high of this football game as any other, and I like it, and I want it, and I want to see it on Major Wager.
Hey, this is my fifth-ranked game of the week one. I think this is such an interesting game because of the second-year quarterbacks on both sides of the ball. You have Ben Johnson going in as a first-year coach in Chicago. We'll see how that new-look offense is. Kevin O'Connell that defense is back. So I think this is a very good matchup. And in an NFC North that is very tightly packed, you don't know who's going to win that division. Both of these NFC North games are going to be crucial to how we see this division pan out by the end of the year.
My top five. And I start with the game in Brazil. I have three big questions for this game. Can the Chargers finally make the leap? Will Mahomes games able to travel to the south part of the globe? And will I be able to tell my parents how to watch this game successfully? Three burning questions I have for this football game. Folks and parents, if you're listening, it's on YouTube, not YouTube TV. It's on YouTube. Good luck figuring that out. All these burning questions for a game that has a lot to look forward to in terms of the AFC West. Come on, Chargers. Stop being the Chargers. Beat those Chiefs. Get them out of here. I'm so tired of them.
Hey, I'm in you know, whatever you said, that is perfect to describe this game. Like, the Chargers at some point have to take that leap, and I think this is a early test to where we can see how Jim Harbaugh is going to respond to what the Chiefs did last year. So the Chiefs coming back, coming off of a Super Bowl loss, you know, they're going to be wanting to win a lot of games this year and prove the haters wrong. So yeah, I love this game as well. So that's a good pick for you.
Next up. Boy, we're going to eat in the late afternoon slate with starting with Rams and Texans in SoFi. Feels like a mismatch on one side of the ball, but I'm telling you, this is the juiciest matchup on another side of the ball. Rams are going to pass rush the heck out of that that Texans offensive line. But let's be honest. How about those wide receivers against that secondary of the Houston Texans? The chess match, the physical battles. What is going to be capable in terms of how Stafford's going to attack that secondary that the Texans boast so strongly? I will tell you this. It's going to be an interesting game. The Rams have been notoriously bad at starting the seasons. They need a game like this, and the Texans certainly would need this one to make them feel like they can actually be a team people care about instead of that 9-8, you know what, AFC South BS.
This game is going to be an absolute massacre on one side of the ball, as you said. That Rams D-line is going to eat against this Texas offensive line. But I do agree that this offense of the Rams going up against this Texans defense is going to be the matchup that determines this game. And I'm very excited because both teams have such good players. Derek Stingley Jr. and Danielle Hunter, you know, Davante Adams and Puka Nacua and Kyren Williams. There's just stars littered across the board. And then you get to the other side and it's like...
it's just like...
Ariante Ursary versus Jared Verse. Like, it's going to be disgusting.
it's me playing flag football against... Fourth graders. It's just going to be stiff arms. Stiff arms everywhere. Next up, Seahawks and Niners in Seattle. I like these two teams to hate each other every year. Can we get that one back? I feel like we lost the juice just a little bit. But I'll tell you what, the juice of this game is going to recapture that rivalry because these two teams are in the similar position of let's start off the game, let's start off this season with a week one win. Can't wait to see whether the Niners can recapture their old ways with their old coaches, or are we going to see Seattle success with Darnay Dimes? Can't wait to see it on a Sunday afternoon. I don't know if I'll learn anything from a win between these two teams, because let's be honest, the Niners are still trying to be who they are and waiting for some guys to come back. They're just trying to play in survival mode. Seahawks got to get them if they need to have a conversation of being in the NFC West.
Yeah, if the Seahawks want to take that leap to become a playoff contender, this is a type of game you have to win. The Niners coming in with a very talented roster, yes, but they also have a lot of injuries. You have a new defense along that defensive line. But I like the Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Ricky Pearsall trio going up against that Devin Witherspoon and what's his name? I can't remember his name now. But that secondary for the Seattle Seahawks, it's going to be a very tantalizing matchup for sure.
JSN, eat.
That's oh, Renardo right. Green's locking it up? Come on now.
Oh, get out of here. Next up, I got the Packers and the Lions. If I told you a week ago this was Micah Parsons versus Aiden Hutchinson, I think you would have thought I was on crack. But here we are. And it's football crack, and it's delicious, and it's wonderful, and I can't wait to see these two pass rushers go at it against it in a NFC North battle that has a lot to do with the playoff implications in week one. Packers, you were 1-5 in your division last year. Beat this team. You gotta, if you're going to be a Super Bowl contender. Lions, man, you just got to keep the status quo going. I know you lost a couple coaches. It's going to be interesting to see these two teams go at it. Lions 0-1, when's the last time they did that?
When you look at the Detroit Lions, the parts are there. I find myself thinking to myself, like, how is this team going to work without their coordinators? So definitely a tantalizing matchup. I'm so excited to see Micah Parsons and how he does after sitting out the entire offseason. He still has back tightness, I guess, which I don't know what the actuality of that is. But, again, NFC North is packed. I love the matchup, and I think this is going to be a very good game for sure.
To my final game of the week. My number one game is on Sunday Night Football in Buffalo because the Bills take on the Ravens in a rematch where Mark Andrews will certainly not drop a ball again, right? He won't do it again, right? We hope not. For his sake, But anyways, give this to me 10 out of 10 each week, every day. Make it happen. Two generational, how about one-of-a-kind quarterbacks that we've never seen before going at it. Check. Two fan bases dying to usurp the Chiefs. Can I say that word? Check. Big time sound system check with the home fan base. Check as well. Get me to this game now on Sunday night. I am locked in on Bills Ravens.
I totally agree. This is my number one game as well. I mean, you start off the year going up against it's Lamar Jackson versus Josh Allen. Both of these guys trying to take that leap into the Super Bowl picture after being stopped by guys like Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes for so many years. I think this is finally the year that they can do it, and getting off to a win for either of these guys is going to be massive.
And that is your Benatti Blitz. Woo! How'd that go?
Oh, we were flying. We were flying.
That was 24 minutes.
Yeah.
Man, those non-bye weeks are going to be killer.
Yeah.
Any major upsets? What was like one of the big dissenters for you? Did you kind of mention it before?
What do you mean?
Like, which one was like a big... Where we were most separated from?
Oh, I think it was definitely the Raiders-Patriots game.
Okay.
I think I have that a lot higher than you did.
That's fair.
But, yeah, well, it'll probably be a boring game, to be honest with you.
It's going to be like 20 to 2016. It's just going to be kind of, yeah.
And I will be hyped.
I'll take it. All right, let's take a break. Let's wrap up the show. Send it to Giants Baseball next. Stay with us. You're listening to 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. NFL fans, week one is your shot to play free and stack $1 million cash bag with DraftKings Pick 6, an official partner of the NFL. Phil Bonatti here to tell you got to download the DraftKings Pick 6 app, DraftKings' easiest way to play fantasy. You just got to enter for free, pick more or less on 6 player stats for week one. You like points? You like a game with a lot of points, maybe potentially? You like some Bengals-Browns to be a shootout? I remember back in the day when the NFL, Bengals-Browns, I think, was one of the highest scoring games ever in the National Football League, and I think Kelly Holcomb was throwing quarterback. I think these guys are a couple of better quarterbacks at it. Anyway, share your link with friends to add more cash to the bag and get bonus shots to win. That's right. You play with your friends, hit all 6 picks. You'll be splitting a bag that's already $1 million or more. So download the DraftKings Pick 6 app. Use code KFIG. Opt in for free and start stacking entries for NFL Week 1. Zero cost. Huge upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 18+. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Void where prohibited. Must claim token for free entry and bag builder contest. Only perfect entries earn share of cash prize. Tokens are single use and expire September 8th at 8:15 p.m. Eastern. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. All right, back at it for one more segment before we say goodbye for the evening. That's right, we're leaving at 5 because Giants and Rockies coming up in just a little bit. Reminder, A's and Cardinals are just underway over on the other side. Let me take a little sneak peek at the score right now. No score, top of the first, like I said, just getting underway. We also have a Sunbird Sports Show tomorrow, Paul Metters. Going to be on that 6 p.m. over on 790 tomorrow, so be sure to tune in for that. Should be a lot of fun. I guess we didn't really get into the AP poll for all things college sports. I do recall, I'm looking at it right now, Boise just annihilated out of there. See you later. Not a single vote to Boise in terms of the receiving votes. So I've had this gut feeling. I've been thinking about it for a little bit. I just feel like the Mountain West is just, is it? I'm like thinking of all the group of five conferences right now. To me, I feel like Mountain West is like bottom three, bottom four right now. I know we worry about conference supremacy, but I haven't been seeing much from the Mountain West to tell me that we got an edge above like the American or the edge over who else is out there.
I mean,
Sunbelt.
It's week one, week two. So like, I mean, actually it's week one because the other week was zero. So, like, you can't really tell right now until they get really informed and start playing, like, conference. That's when you know who's who.
I don't know. Yeah, you're right. And I said this, Tavier, you came in for today, and I said this. I was like, these polls, still, I still don't think anybody knows anything.
Yeah.
There's no relativity to it. Everyone just beat somebody, and it's just like, all right, well, now I think they're good. And now I think, when's the first time you're like, okay, the polls matter?
To me, it's when the first college football playoff poll comes
out.
That's it. And I know a lot of people have been chatting about why is there even a ranking at this point, because it doesn't necessarily even matter to the college football playoff.
It's conversation.
That's the main point of it.
It's entertainment,
for sure.
And people will have their polls. People have their things to talk about. Personally, I think Penn State should be number one.
Really?
That's my take.
Yeah, I mean, beating Nevada 44-11, but I mean, Ohio State did beat Texas.
But I think Penn State. I think Penn State's better than Ohio State.
You can make that argument for sure.
And I think Penn State's better than Texas. So that's where I was at.
Yeah.
Initially, I think the start of the conversation was wrong initially on that side of things. So you're looking at me like I just killed your dog.
I just don't think Penn State's that good.
Okay.
I just don't think they're. I feel like they're top five, just not two or one.
I think they're better than Georgia. Well, okay, maybe Georgia. I don't know. We'll see what Georgia is. Because Georgia had a cupcake.
Yeah, that's a legitimate.
Georgia had a cupcake.
One.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. LSU jumping the three. I'm not there with LSU.
I think that their win was pretty impressive. I mean, yeah. Clemson was a team that I think definitely could compete with for a national championship. You have Cade Klubnik. You have a couple of great wide receivers, great defensive players. So I think that was a very impressive win, regardless of the scoreline, for sure.
What was Notre Dame last? Was it?
There were six.
There were six. So they're down to nine. They don't get the crazy penalty.
Also, I don't feel like Alabama should have been kicked so far down. You know, they were at, what, 18 or something like that?
You wonder where all the AP voters are, Jorge. The majority of them are in that. If you had a map of where the AP voters are, I would have bet they're a little more to the southeast quarter of the country. Your USC Trojans, Jorge, getting some votes for beating the hell out of Missouri State.
That got out of hand quick. I was watching it, and all of a sudden I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
I guess I'm watching the Fresno State game now.
I don't know. I can't wait to see what it's going to turn. By the way, did you see the Oregon Duck?
Lost his
mask.
Mask, yeah.
Flew off as soon as he was running out. He tripped over himself and suddenly had to run back into the tunnel. he was halfway down the field.
I found out about mascot etiquette. I guess you're not supposed to go and pick up the mask. I guess you're supposed to just run back into an area where nobody can see you.
It's crazy. It was crazy stuff. College football, man. It's crazy. It's so much crazy. I can't wait. I love it all. All right. That's it, guys. That's the end of the show. 2 hours in the books. Appreciate it. Appreciate you guys' help on everything. And we'll be back at it tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Yep.
So
appreciate you, too.
Great show.
You believe in the Giants, Jorge?
Man. I don't know.
You ponder that after this game tonight.
It's a lot of things happening.
It's coming up next. And we'll see what you think tomorrow. All right. Giants baseball next on 1430.